Turn with me, if you would, this evening to the portion of God's Word that we have read together in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We wish to look at the words that we have in verses 8 and 9. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. If you recall, last Lord's Day, I think it was, we considered 1 Timothy chapter 1, the very first chapter, and in verse 15, where we are told this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. This is the second, our text this evening is the second of five occasions within the pastoral epistles that the apostle uses this terminology. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Sometimes it's a faithful saying and a true saying. In other words, the apostle Paul is drawing our attention, or the attention particularly of Timothy, to what he's just said. And the saying that he's probably referring to is the words that he's just stated that about bodily exercise and godliness is profitable in all things, and so on, and embracing probably the idea that he's already had and given in the previous verses. To whom is Paul speaking here? He's speaking to Timothy, speaking to a young minister of the gospel. He's giving him some instruction as to how to be a good minister of the gospel. Now, you might say to yourself, well, if Paul is speaking to the minister, and we're preaching this evening on these words, then really, these words only apply to the minister. And if that is the case in here, then it really only applies to me. And it applies to one other man, brother in the congregation, who is a minister. So really what is being... And you see that at the very beginning of the Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to Timothy, my own son in the faith. So Paul is speaking here to a minister, and you might immediately think to yourself, well, it only really applies to two people in this building this evening. But that's not quite true. It's not quite so. Because Paul says to them, he says, now keep them, he says, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things. Now Paul is saying to Timothy, this is how you will be a good minister. When you yourself believe these things, when you perform these things, and you also tell it to others, to the congregation. So, just because Paul is writing to Timothy, he's writing to Timothy as one who will minister what Paul is saying. So you can't switch off this evening, because this applies to you as well. It applies to every one of us. What Paul is saying here, he is saying to Timothy, this is how you will be a good minister. This is what you will preach. This is the example you will give. But you are to preach it and to be an example so that the congregation itself will follow your example and will hear what you have to say. And Paul, I think, when you look at it, look down at it, and it's wonderful how sometimes Paul and what he writes is so applicable to our own day, isn't it? Because sometimes when you make a picture of what Paul is saying, you discover that it's exactly a picture of things that are happening today. And you can even use illustrations to show and bring it alive in your own mind. I like it sometimes when you come to a text like this, or a portion of scripture like this, to have a picture in your own mind. What's Paul actually saying here? Well, Paul here is speaking about what it is to be healthy. To be healthy. Remember, he says, and you know, bodily exercise profiteth little, and so on. And he talks about exercise. He talks. He says, bodily exercise. That immediately it brings you into being healthy. He's speaking here about being healthy. It's almost as though Paul is saying to Timothy, Timothy, you need to be a good instructor. You know, if you go into a gymnasium, I'm told this, if you go into a gymnasium, you very often will have instructors. You'll be told, take out this membership, and you can go in and you'll have people in there who will instruct you on how to be healthy. And that's not too far away from what Paul is saying here when you realise that the word exercise here in verse bodily exercise is the Greek word gymnasia. Gymnasia. It's the Greek word gymnasia. It's where we get gymnasium. So Paul is saying here that he's using this word gymnasium, gymnasia, exercise. And you think it's as though Paul is saying to Timothy, if you're going to train up and you're going to be a good trainer of your congregation, then this is what you must take into account. This is what you must take into account. The thing is, and there are one or two things here that you'll discover, is that when he's talking about health, he's really talking about your spiritual health. That's what a minister takes to do with, isn't it? That's what Timothy was to take to do with. He wasn't so much taking to do with the bodily health, whether you're healthy in body, whether you exercise or not. Paul's not really, it's not saying that's not, Timothy, what you're about. You're about exercise, spiritual exercise. And there's a difference altogether between bodily exercise and spiritual exercise. There's a difference between looking after the body and looking after the soul. There is a difference between physical exercise, running, jogging, whatever it may be, and spiritual exercise. And now, when you come to think of health, you can't write off the aspect of the body. Can't write off the body because the body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. The body is very important. It is very important because the body is given by God. And it's very important that we look after the body. Paul's not saying here, and nowhere does Paul say, you don't worry about the body, just forget about the body. The body's nothing. My friend, that's not what Paul ever says. That doesn't say that. He says the body is the temple of the living God. For the Christian, the Holy Spirit indwells the Christian. The soul indwells the body. If you think about the body, it's not just while you're alive that the body is important. The Catechism says that the souls of believers are at their death made perfect and holy and do immediately pass into glory while their bodies rest in the grave until the day of the resurrection. So let's never ever think that, as some have said, really it's all about the soul and it's nothing to do with the body. The body is very important. People today look after the body. You want to look after the body. But Paul here is saying to Timothy, he says, but there's also the soul. You've got to think about the health of the soul. We can sometimes stop and think to ourselves, what about our physical health? People are taken up with that because of a pandemic. And people perhaps will go and get tested to see how they are faring. Do they have this COVID-19? Do they have to do something to counter this? Maybe isolation or whatever it may be. Do you need to take a vaccine? But my friend, do you ever stop to ask yourself, what about the state of your soul? What about the state of your soul? How is the health of your soul? Remember what the Lord Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, "Fear not him that can destroy the body, but fear ye him that can destroy the body and soul in hell." In other words, we should have the fear of the Lord. We shouldn't just be fearful about our body. We shouldn't just be fearful about the temporal. We should be concerned about the soul, the health of our soul. Because, as Jesus says, what would it profit a man, supposing he would gain the whole world, and yet he were to lose his soul? So therefore we need to ask the question this evening, how is the health, how is the state of your soul? And Paul is saying to Timothy, this young minister, he's saying something like this, you're to be this instructor. It's not an instructor like a physical instructor in a gymnasium. He's saying you are to be a minister of the gospel. And you are to look after and seek to look after the soul, the health of the soul. Now, there are two things that we would look after even in the physical sphere, isn't it? If you're going to, people are taken up today with the health issues. And there are two health issues that people are generally taken up with. One is diet, what you eat. They say you are what you eat. Isn't that right? You are what you eat. So we've got to be careful what we eat. And then on top of that, it's no point just watching what you eat. You've got to exercise. That's the other thing that people are taken up with today. You go out on the road and you see people jogging, they're running, or they're going to the gym, or they're exercising. These are the two areas that they have to be careful about. And just as it is with the physical body, with the physical aspect, the diet and exercise, so Paul here says, you also need to be careful about the diet that you have and the exercise that you perform. First of all, he speaks about the diet. What do you eat? You see people today, they go into the shop and everything. You've got to see how many calories is this? What's this for? What am I eating healthily? What am I eating? Well, Paul says, when it comes to the soul, when it comes to the spiritual, and this is the spiritual, you see, because if you're going to come to the spiritual, you don't go to a company. You've got all these big companies today. And you've got companies today that have been risen up in Britain and America, and they're companies that look into the health. What's good for you to eat? All these food companies, they've got these sections, and it's all about how you eat. The trouble is, when it comes to spiritual things, man is lost. You can't go to a man and say to a man, How do I know what to eat spiritually? How are you going to discover what is good for you spiritually? Well, Paul tells Timothy right at the beginning, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly in this way. See, it's the Holy Spirit here who is going to, is really the instructor of the Apostle Paul. Paul is telling the young minister, Timothy, what it is that he's got to watch out for, spiritually for himself, spiritually so that he can teach us, he can himself be an instructor. He's got to be taught himself, and he's taught by the Spirit. Paul himself is not just saying, Timothy, this is what I think you should do. He says it's the Holy Spirit that specifically tells you how you have to look after your health. And when it comes to your diet, how are you going to spiritually be fed? How are you going to be spiritually nourished? Well, he first of all says what you're not to eat. Remember how if you're going to look after your diet today, they don't just tell you this is what you should eat. They also warn you, this is what you shouldn't eat. You shouldn't eat this, you shouldn't eat that, because it's not good for you. Well, Paul here begins to speak to Timothy, and he brings out, he talks about the giving heed to seducing spirits, doctrines of devils, speaking of lies and hypocrisy, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. You see, there are things that spiritually you should not take, and these are things that Paul, even in his own day, he says the Spirit has warned the church that there would be false doctrines, there would be false things, that the devil would come in with seducing lies, that they were to abstain, that telling you that this is what you must do. You must abstain from this meat and that meat, and if you do these things, that's fine by you. It's a list of to-dos. You're not to eat this, and you're not to eat that, and you're not to do this, and you're not to do that. Paul here says, this is what you should have a diet of, and you have it in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister, nourishing up in the words of faith. You see, that's what we have to be nourished up in. The words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained, to be nourished up. This is what is good spiritually. It's the word of God, to be nourished in the faith and in good doctrine. You don't be right with God because you go and you abstain from this meat or that meat, or you're not going to be right with God because you do this or do that, whether it be you become a monk somewhere and that's going to be... Paul says that's not what nourishes up the soul. It's the soul that is nourished in the words of faith and of good doctrine. We should be listening every Lord's Day when the Word of God is read, and we should be thinking to ourselves, as we read it, what is God saying to us here? What should we be getting from this? Are we seeing in the Word the bread of life? The bread of life. I've often said before, haven't I, that people think, you know, someone will say to you, when do you break bread? They mean, when are you going to have the Lord's Supper? When do you break bread? What's your answer to that? Your answer to that is we break bread every single Lord's Day through the preaching of the Word. Christ is preached. The Word of Christ is preached. And we should be nourished up in a diet of the words of faith and of good doctrine about the Lord Jesus Christ, the way of salvation, faith, that our soul would be fed and nourished and strengthened, just like you would go and you sit down to a meal and you say to yourself, well, what's good for me here? What's good for me to sit and eat? And you see, Paul says, if you're going to do that, if you're going to look after the soul, then allow the soul, get the soul to be nourished up in the words of faith and of good, sound doctrine. And then you come to God's house in the Lord's Day. You come in the morning, you come in the evening, and that's wonderful. But can you say when you leave here, my soul is being fed? My soul is being fed. It may be that as you're here and you listen to the preaching, and all you get is a morsel. But my friend, the woman came to Jesus and she said that the dogs even fed off the crumbs that fell from the master's table. So you come to God's house and do you even feed upon the very crumbs that the Lord Jesus will lay before you? Do you see him as the bread of life, the water of life, the wonderful doctrines and the word of faith that we have here, being nourished up, your soul being nourished in the word of faith? That word that you, the word that you put, that nourishes your soul and feeds your soul. My friend, we should be coming to God's house, and we should be saying, just as we go to a meal, we go home, we get our breakfast in the morning, our lunch, we may have our dinner, our tea at night, or whatever it is, and you come, and when you come to God's house, when you come to be nourished up in the Word of God, you should be coming as though you're coming to a meal to feed your soul. And my friend, it's not only on the Lord's Day, is it? You leave here and you go home today and you have your lunch. You don't say to yourself, well, that's my body satisfied for another week. I'll wait until next Lord's Day and we'll have a big dinner again on the Lord's, on the Lord's Day. Do you do that? No, you don't. You get up in the morning, you have your breakfast, you have your lunch, you have your dinner at night. My friend, do you feed upon? Does your soul, is your soul fed during that day? Do you ever think to yourself, that's my body satisfied. How wonderful the Lord is that he says here, all things, nothing is to be refused, it's to be received with thanksgiving. You see, there were those who said, well, you can't eat meats, you can't do that. This is the way to please God. Don't eat meats, don't eat this, abstain from meats and all the rest of it. That's the way to please God. My friend, you go home, you eat your dinner, and you thank God for it. Take it all with thanksgiving. But that's your body filled. That's your body satisfied. Do you then think, now, my soul is hungry. I've got a hungry soul. And it will only be satisfied by the word of truth. Take the word of God. And my friend, the way for you to be, the way for you to be physically right is to eat right. But my friend, the way for you to be spiritually is to eat right. That is to feed off the word of God. To be nourished up in the word of faith and in good, sound doctrine. And where do you get that, my friend? But where better than to come to the word of God and to read all about the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. But there's a second thing, isn't there? If you're going to be fit today, and if you're going to be, if you're going to be, they tell you you're going to be fit, it's not just what you eat, you've got to exercise. Now you go out and exercise, and it will profit you. It'll profit your body. There is no doubt about that. Yeah, you go out and you exercise. But do you not need to exercise your soul? How are you going to exercise the soul? Some will maintain that bodily exercise profiteth little. In actual fact, what the apostle is speaking here about is all the exercises that they do for religion, the penance, all the different things that people would do in order to be right with God, abstaining from this, doing that, not doing the other, all these different things. Now, whether it's bodily exercises, going walks or whatever, or whether it's things that are to do with religion, trying to pray, Paul says here, they might profit you a little. But you know the exercise that you need to do. You need to be exercised, he said, in godliness. In godliness. That's how you need to be exercised. Bodily exercise, that's bodily gymnasia. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. What is godliness? What does godliness mean? Well, godliness, I think, in this instance, is simply listening to what God has to say. You see, he says, you don't listen to old wives' tales. That's what he says earlier on. Refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. In other words, if you're going to exercise the soul, don't listen to the fables, the different doctrines or the different old wives' tales that people will tell you. Ignore all that. Throw it all out. Don't listen to the ideas of the fathers or whoever it may be. Listen to what God has to say, and then exercise godliness. To exercise the soul in godliness, to be separated to God, to be like God. In other words, to be exercised, that's discipline, isn't it? That's to be disciplined in it. To be disciplined in godliness. To be disciplined in godliness. To have a zeal for piety. To have a zeal for the things of God. To have a zeal for the things that separate. To listen to what God has to say. Think of all that God says in His Word about what it is to live a godly life. That, says Paul, is far more important than supposing you became a monk. Supposing you abstain from this. Supposing you were forbidden to marry. Supposing you became some kind of priest that wouldn't marry. Supposing you never ate fish on a Friday. Supposing you became a monk in some kind of monastery. This is far more profitable is to live a godly life. To be exercised in godliness. And you know, Paul says that takes effort. It's just like everything else. You know, you have to persevere at that. You have to keep at that. They say that at gymnasiums, after New Year, after that, they've got a lot of members, you know, after New Year, January, February, tails off. They make some kind of resolution, and then they get tired of it, and away they go. They go something else. But here he says, you exercise, and it's difficult to be exercised in godliness. Look what Paul says. We both labour and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe. To live a godly life is not an easy life. Paul acknowledges that. It's a difficult life. It's a life that's tried. It's a life that's tried, isn't it? Is it Psalm 11 that speaks of that trial, of how it is that the believer and the life of the believer, the life of the godly man, I in the Lord to put my trust. How is it then that you say to my soul, flee as a bird unto your mountain high? The wicked bend their bow, their shafts and strings they fit, that those who upright are in heart, they privily may hit. See, to have an upright heart, to live a godly life, and to seek to exercise your soul in godliness. My friend, is that not your desire? In fact, do you not lament how unexercised, how far short you come from what you would love to be? But is that not often the case with those who are exercising bodily? They exercise and they still want to exercise more because they don't actually achieve what they maybe wanted. They keep on. And that's the way the Christian is. He is to press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's to continue exercising, having the profitable, but godliness is profitable in all things. Everything. Godliness is profitable. You exercise in godliness. And all these other things that you think might be profitable to you. Doing this, doing that, doing the other. Godliness, he says, is profitable in it all. You might get some benefit from some of these other things, but they are nothing in comparison to exercising godliness. Listening to what God has to say, seeking to please God, seeking to be conformed to the image of God. Because it's that that has a glorious promise attached to it. It has a promise for this life. Think of how it is even when someone exercises bodily. They watch what they're eating. They diet and all the rest of it. They have a good diet. They exercise and then they fall away a bit and they have to come back and they're disappointed. But and so it is with all these other things, but godliness is profitable in everything and has a promise with it for this life and a promise for that which is to come. Think of how bodily exercise, how it'll last for a short period of time. You might be able to do bodily exercise when you're relatively young, you're in your teenagers, years. And you're in your 20s and you're in your 30s, you're still able to exercise. There are footballers at 30, late 30s, but then, you know, you come into your 40s and it becomes a wee bit more difficult then, doesn't it? You can't keep it going. Maybe in your 50s and your 60s, how many are going at that 60s doing what they were doing? That becomes difficult. You can't, it's not profitable then because your body is slowing down. Your body's not able to do what it used to do. And even what you did when you're younger is really not profitable to you then because your body simply is not keeping up with it. And then you go into your 70s, your 80s, and you can't do it anymore. But think of how the promise it is to the soul. The soul that begins this exercise. The soul that becomes alive. Because it's only those who are born again that actually end up with this life. The life of the soul begins to diet, begins to exercise. And you know, it's like everything else. When you begin to exercise, you begin to use the equipment and you fall down. Because you're not using it properly, are you? You're fumbling about, you know, you go to the gym or whatever it is and there's a piece of equipment that you don't even know how to use it. That's the way it is with the spiritual. But you see, rather than the spiritual man ultimately that not profiting him, he actually gets stronger and stronger. While the body falls away, while the body decays, the spiritual man can get stronger and stronger and stronger. And my friend, sometimes those who are at the end of their days are the strongest they've ever been. And it's not only a promise for this life, it's a promise for that which is to come. Whatever exercise there is in this life with the body, there is one thing sure, the body will end up in the grave. But after that, there is a promise to this soul that when that soul enters into glory, my friend, what a wonderful change there is then. What a wonderful change, even when the body itself is raised a glorious body. It's sown in corruption, it's raised up in incorruption. What a wonderful picture that is. There is a promise that is given to the soul, a promise that is given to the spiritual man. And it doesn't matter how fit a person may or may not be in this life. They won't know anything of that. But the spiritual man does. So when Paul here says to Timothy, this trainer, as it were, of his people, he says, this is the way you ought to be, a good trainer, encouraging them in a good diet, nourished up in the word of God, in the word of faith, and the good doctrines, and exercised in godliness. My friend, if that's what we do, then it doesn't matter. This body one day will decay and go into the grave, and it will become as the dust of the ground. But the soul, it shall live. The soul shall live. What's the state of your soul this evening? Have you got it on a good diet? And are you exercising it well? Paul encourages us. Keep them in remembrance of these things. That you might be a good minister of the gospel. And your people may be spiritually strong in the things of the Lord. Let us join together in prayer.